Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Talking sports with 12th man, Andre Peterson, Rob Ford. What's up, Rob? How you doing this evening?
Doing great. Hello, world.
In a minute. We're definitely back. Ready to talk.
We have some exciting topics for you all this evening.
Go ahead, Rob. You want to introduce the topics that we have for the show?
Oh, we're talking some serious sports topics. And we got hit with something today that we wasn't expecting, which is Shaquille O'Neal breaking the news of his retirement. Wasn't necessarily a part of the show tonight, but I don't think we can go on without discussing that a little bit.
Well,
give you an impression of Shaquille O'Neal's 19 years in the NBA.
Wow. It's been a long time. I remember when we first came into the league back in the day, Shaq Diesel, very momentous moment. What else we got on the show?
We're discussing the state of the Ohio State University football program. Who's the next head coach?
Wow. This is going to be interesting because a lot of rumors are out there about that one as well.
The NBA Finals, of course. Game one was last night. What are we expecting going into game two tomorrow night? And I know the draft is about a month old now, but we're going to get into a little draft talk still recapping the draft. What quarterback is going to have the most success in his rookie season out of this particular draft class?
Okay, all right.
And we're going to get into a little college football preview if we're able to squeeze it in. Give us your top five preseason.
Got it.
For the 2011 college football season.
All right. And then if we have some time, like I said, we will get a chance to talk about the lockout. That's everyone's big topic because, I think the NFL can be kind of cocky as thinking that the fans are going to come back to the NFL. But, we are kind of upset as far as why it's taking so long, too. So hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that as well, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about the first topic. Then you said Shaquille O'Neal. He's retiring from the NBA. I mean, wow.
Yeah, that's
what can we say
that's
about
breaking news today. And, like I said, it wasn't expected to be on our show this evening, but I don't think we could go on without discussing at least a few minutes of Shaquille O'Neal and his impact on the NBA. And where do you think he ranks all time now? 19 years in the NBA. Where did you think he ranks all time in the ranking of centers in the NBA history?
Is this something that they actually released, or this is kind of like my personal feeling on the ranking?
No, your ranking.
My ranking, wow. I got to say, honestly, he's probably top five. Only reason I'm saying that because I think that, you got to go Wilt Chamberlain is probably up there, Bill Russell, Kareem should be up there, George Mikan, is he a center too, right?
Yes, he was
Shaquille.
Center.
Yeah, and then Shaquille's probably right within those guys. I mean, I think he's top five, easily. So that's me. I don't know. Where do you think he ranks as far as centers as well?
I will even go as far as to say top three.
Wow, okay.
Wilt Chamberlain, even though he only has two championships, it's hard to argue with his numbers. I mean, the kind of numbers he put up were mind-boggling. So even though Shaq has four titles and Wilt has two, it's hard for me to put anybody over Wilt Chamberlain.
Okay.
And I'll go Shaq number two. I'll go Kareem number three. And that's kind of how I kind of look at it. I'll go Bill Russell four, and I'll go Hakeem Olajuwon five. That's how I would. I think that's how I would rank the top five centers of all time. So, I think Shaq close to 30,000 points in his career in 19 years, four NBA championships. And when he was in his prime, I mean, he was almost unguardable. He was just so dominant. And, so I'm going to rank him as the second best center, the Shaq Diesel. And what university he went to, by the way?
Of course, you got to say LSU. You got to plug your school by any means necessary. So, that's good for you, Matt.
LSU building a big Shaquille O'Neal statue in front of the LSU basketball arena this summer. So great timing.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I don't know if he's, you know, I like Hakeem. I like Bill Russell there too. So I'm kind of, you know, we'll have to agree or disagree about that. But he's definitely changed the way that, you know, you had to foul people, had to guard people because he was just so dominant. You know, like you said, there was no one like him. I don't think there'll be another Shaq, you know, at this juncture, kind of the way he's changed the game, you know. So it has been amazing how Shaquille has put his imprint, probably one of the better soundbite men in the game as well. So we're going to miss his personality and definitely what he's brought to the NBA by any means, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. So he's a surefire Hall of Famer. So I'm sure we'll be seeing him inducted here in a few years. Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So I guess we can move on to since we're short on time here, we'll move on to our next topic. And the state of the Ohio State football program. Wow, how has this thing just turned down for the worse in the last 5 to 6 months? I mean, did anybody see this coming?
Yeah,
I mean,
they
went from a top five college football program to now a complete disaster.
Wow. What do you think is going to happen as far as the sanctions? I mean, you think they're going to – obviously, they're not going to get the death penalty. I don't think they're going to do that as well, but, you know,
I think the sanctions – it's not going to be as bad as USC's, but it's going to be somewhere just beneath it. And I think the thing that's going to save Ohio State a little bit is with Jim Tressel actually stepping down.
Okay.
If he would have stayed upon the program, I think they will be getting just as harsh penalties as USC.
Wow.
But I think their penalties will be slightly less than USC. But I'm sure there's going to be a year or two bowl ban, and there'll probably be a ban from at least a season or two from the Big Ten Championship. They may not lose the scholarships that USC lost. USC is losing 30 over a certain number of years. You know, Ohio State's might be slightly less. So I think it's safe to say this coming season they're going to stick with the interim coach. I don't see them hiring anyone this summer. And I think, you know, I think Ohio State would like to know what their penalties are going to be by January. So by that time, you know, whoever the new coach coming in is, they'll know what they're walking into. And, you know, they'll be able to decide if they want to walk into that situation or not.
Yeah,
but,
do you think it is going to happen? Do you think it
– go ahead. You brought up a point about Urban Meyer, which I think works for Ohio State. I do believe Urban Meyer wants to sit out this coming season. And I don't think Ohio State wants to hire a new coach before this season. I think they're going to stick with the interim coach. So, you know, you brought up an interesting point, and I have to believe that he's going to be the first guy Ohio State calls when they're ready to hire someone at the end of this upcoming season.
Wow.
I know there's some other names out there like John Gruden. You know, he's an Ohio native. And Urban Meyer is an Ohio native. You know, Bo Pelini, of course, will probably get a call if Urban turns him down. But I think numero uno, Urban Meyer is definitely their first choice.
I think it's messed up, man. They're going to come out looking like a better situation because if you pretty much say, like, you lose Jim Tressel and you get Urban Meyer, I think that's a win-win for Ohio State in a weird way. I know as weird as that sounds, but it's kind of messed up because my question is, are they going to lose anything in the past? Like, are they going to lose any past championships? Are they going to go back and you know, take away any wins or strip a lot of things? I mean, you know, that's what I'm wondering about, too. I mean, you're talking about some stuff in the future, but what about any past the things, you know, that they can actually take if the NCAA is going to, like, look back at some past stuff like they've done with Michigan or anything like that, you think, or what?
Well, I think that's a strong possibility. I mean, if some of those things go back to the 2002 National Championship season, you can see that. You can easily see that being wiped out. If it doesn't go that far back, then, you know, maybe there's no reason to remove that. I mean, it is 9 years ago. I think that was Tressel's second season at Ohio State, too. We'll have to see if some of this, you know, goes that far back with Tressel and some of these activities. It's going to be an interesting football season up in Columbus this year. And Nebraska's coming in. You can almost make a case that Nebraska's first season in that Big Ten may be the favorite now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, like I said, and I think the ironic thing about that, too, because Urban, even if the sanctions are pretty similar to what they have for USC, you got to think that Urban Meyer still may want to say, hey, this is a great challenge for me to come in and maybe have less, you know, whatever, but he's going to be able to probably still get whatever players he wants. You know, he may not have as much, you know, players, but he's still going to probably get a good crop of players. Hey, you're still buying into Urban Meyer and what he did with Florida. I mean, it's like I said, I think it's almost unfair. That's a pretty good for Ohio State that they lose Jim Tressel and they may possibly get, like, Urban Meyer. So that's just an amazing, situation, you know.
In the long term, yes, I agree with you. In the short term, of course, they got to overcome these sanctions, which is probably going to be 2 to 3 years before they're able to really get back to where they were in the last 10 years. So, in the long term, I totally agree with you. Getting Urban Meyer. But in the short term, they're going to have to overcome scholarship losses, lack of depth on their football team, lack of probably postseason games and things of that nature. Definitely long term, I can see if Urban Meyer decides to go there. And if he doesn't, I still think they're going to get a good football coach. I mean, you can see John Gruden or Bo Pelini going there as well. Yeah.
And the last point I want to make, too, is just that, you know, you wonder about Terrell Pryor, too, because now you're hearing some things about where there's smoke, there's fire, that, you know, he unfortunately had a lot more things going on, you know, going to what we're hearing. So we'll keep an eye on that situation, definitely, with Ohio State and how they're going to, you know, what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, one more point on that situation, too, before we move on to our next topic regarding Terrell Pryor. This is just something that popped in my head. I almost think he should go ahead and enter the supplemental draft. You know, if the NFL will have one, I think he should go ahead I can't see him with the season with Tressel being gone. You know, I can almost make a case for him to even consider going into the supplemental draft go ahead and go into the NFL now. I'm not sure if there's a drop dead date on that, or when a guy can go into the supplemental draft. But you can always make a case that that should be something that he should consider. Yeah.
Good point. I agree with you 100% on that too. Yep. Cool beans.
All right, moving along here.
Yep. I guess we're going to talk about the NBA finals and. You know, at this point, I got a good friend or a good coworker that's telling me that he does not want to watch the NBA anymore. The Miami Heat won the championship, so he's just fed up. He thinks it's a freaking setup. And I told him it's not over yet, but I mean, the way that Miami played, it's definitely going to be. Dallas has got a lot of work to do.
Well, I think. I don't necessarily agree with the setup comment, but, I think the thing you got to realize here is that this team has two guys that can finish the game strong in LeBron and Dwayne Wade, and there are not too many other teams in the league that have that. And Dallas, I mean, really, you know, Dirk Nowitzki, so who's their number two guy? And just looking at it on paper, Miami just looks like they just have more finishers on the team. Now, going into this season, I did not believe that Miami would win a championship in their first season together. I knew that they would. My prediction was that they would win some championships. I didn't know how many, or I didn't put a number on it. But I didn't think it would be this season. And so if they do win a championship this season, you know, it's only one game. They only have 1-0. You know, we'll kind of see what tomorrow looks like. But if they do win a championship this season, in my opinion, they are ahead of schedule because I still see some missing pieces on that Miami team. And
yeah.
if they go out and get a few more missing pieces, I mean, that team could be even better.
Yeah, that's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a scary thought. But from what I saw in the game last night, I thought both teams played phenomenal defense, including Dallas. And the three-point shot kept Dallas in the game, kept it a little bit closer. But, I thought Dallas played very well. They kept LeBron and Dwayne Wade out of the paint for the most part. They mostly had to settle for a lot of tough shots. And so I was actually surprised, you know, how well Dallas actually played defense as well. And of course, Miami just might be the best or second-best defensive team in the league. They're just extremely quick. They did a great job on Dirk Nowitzki, and they were able to run a lot of guys at him, too. But it's a long series. I mean, I think Dallas... For Dallas to have a shot at winning this series, they have to shoot the ball lights out, similar to what they did against the Lakers in Game 4 when they closed out the Lakers.
And, you know what? Miami... interesting. Go ahead. I'll let you finish. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying, but Miami is just a little bit more quicker to the ball than the Lakers were.
Yeah, and that's the point, too, because we talked about it before. Briefly offline, and I was asking, like, who do you think would win? And he thought it's going to be whoever's going to represent the East is going to win because, you know, East plays a better defense point blank. I was talking at the barbershop, which is pretty funny, and a lot of guys, you know, were just kind of commenting on that as well, that, you know, Jason Terry had, like, what, 30-something points in, you know, game three or so, and he had, like, a lot of wide-open looks, and, you know, because the West is more, I think, more of an offensive up-and-down game. You know, because, you know, even Oklahoma City, they did, like, a lot of running. But the East is more, you know, definitely a stronger, we're going to dig in, play defense. That's kind of our calling card. So I think, yeah, Dallas is not going to have the same opportunities as getting a lot of those wide-open looks because, you know, Miami is going to say, hey, we're not going to just let you, you know, get anything, you know, which is why the first game, it may not have been a good game. It may have been a little bit more, you know, as far as, you know, just like a tighter game. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was still – you know, like you said, Miami's able to pull away and get, you know, a lot of better shots and hit a lot of those types of things. So, you know, that's how it played out.
Yeah. Should definitely be interesting. I tell you, this guy, Joel Anthony from Miami, I mean, where did he get this guy from? I mean, he doesn't score, but, man, he's one heck of a defensive ball player. He blocks shots, he rebounds. He can't shoot a lick. But he's a great defensive player. Before the season, when I saw that he was going to be the starting center, I was like, wow, there's no way this team's going to win the championship. But I just didn't know anything about him. But obviously, Pat Riley and Miami knew what they were doing. And even though he's only about 6'9", 6'10", he plays a lot taller than that.
Yeah, like I said, you need guys like that. That's kind of very similar to what, you know, Chicago had. I used to guys that are just, you know, I'm not here to score. I'm just here to, like, rebound, block shots. And, you know, that's what makes a team, like you said. I'm sure as the season progressed, they're like, okay, this is what we need your role to be, you know. Rebound, get shots and stuff like that. So, yeah, Miami, I think Miami got lucky. And that's why I kind of, you know, I'm kind of torn because I do think it's kind of not fair that they win their first, you know, first time out. You know, at least you got to let them, you know, struggle a bit. But we'll see how it ends up if they actually win the first, their first championship, you know, with LeBron's first season there. That's, wow. That's going to be interesting, obviously.
Yeah, but they went through Boston, and that was a pretty strong test. And, you know, the way I look at it, it's their first season together, but they've had some pretty strong tests. They didn't have, like, any easy opponents. I mean, Boston, then going through Chicago, the team with the best record in the NBA. So it's looking like this is a legitimate team and a legitimate championship if Miami does, you know, finish off this series and win it.
Yeah,
And then, of course, playing a very good Dallas team who also eliminated, who swept the Lakers. And if they do find a way to win this championship, I mean, it's to me, it looks like a very legitimate title.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, I'm not doubting the legitimacy of it. I'm just saying it's just kind of those things you'd expect them to happen like the very first time, you know, to win it.
Yeah.
The very first time they actually got in there, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in preseason, I felt the same way. I thought we were looking at a Boston Lakers rematch or a Boston Spurs. And at one point, at the end of the regular season, I was thinking the Bulls-Lakers finals. Not one time did I think Miami was going to make it to the finals.
Yeah, I'm sure you and everyone else.
Not until the playoffs.
Yeah.
Still thought they were at least a year away to get some more pieces. So, but that's the scary thing. The scary thing is I think they can still get better. And if they do win, they've already gotten one title.
Yep. It's not fair, I tell you, not fair. All right, we've got about 9 minutes. Yeah, we got about 8 minutes left here, so let's go ahead and talk about
it. Yeah, we better move on.
Yeah, so the recap of the NBA NFL draft here. And, you know, I guess let's just kind of dive into the whole thing as far as your question about which rookie quarterback is going to have the most success. Now, ironically, there's two things that you can actually grade this on. You know, the first one is team success and then individual success. And the reason why I say that is because, for example, you know, I can go into London and say Cam Newton's not going to have, the Carolina Panthers may not have a lot of success as a team, you know, because they don't have a lot of pieces. Like Cam Newton, what if he has I'm not going to say he's going to have like 21, 26 touchdowns, whatever. That's going to be tough as a rookie, but what if, what's a good barometer as far as him having success? Is that, you know, him having more, you know, touchdowns than interceptions or what, you know? So I think that's another interesting point to bring up whenever we actually grade the quarterbacks too. So that's all I wanted to add to the fray as far as that.
And in my opinion, I think it's really just three quarterbacks to compare to. I think we're talking Cam Newton, we're talking Jake Locker, and we're talking Blaine Gabbert. Those are the three quarterbacks that went in the top 10. So I think those, you know, I hate to just limit them just to those three, but I think really those are the three we should really just kind of look at here. I mean,
you know,
some of the other guys.
But think about that too. Not to cut you off, but think about this. You know, I mean, you know, Christian Ponder may be on the outside looking in. I mean, I think.
I think you're right.
Better,
I think we need to include him in this conversation. I think we need to include him in this conversation too.
But you know,
that's
I'm,
a good point. We need to Ponder was the 12th pick, Ponder was the 12th pick. So I definitely think we should include him in this conversation as well. And I think that's a good point. Who's going to have the most team success and who's going to have the most individual success?
Right.
And in my opinion, of the four quarterbacks that we just mentioned, I think Cam Newton will have the most individual success as a rookie.
I agree.
And I think Carolina is going to give him the starting job right away practically. And, you know, he may have a 500-600 yards rushing in his rookie season. You know, I don't think he's going to have huge touchdown numbers passing-wise. He may throw for 12 and maybe throw 10 interceptions. But I think from a dynamic standpoint, he's going to put people in the seats in Charlotte. And so I think individually he will have the most success. And
gotcha.
I think team-wise, you brought up the Christian Ponder. His team, Minnesota, will probably have the most individual success. That doesn't mean they're going to go to the playoffs. I'm not saying that. But I think they have enough talent on that team to win now that they can get an adequate quarterback. And so I would say team success, Minnesota, probably with Christian Ponder or whoever is the quarterback, starting quarterback going to be, can probably have the most team success. I think
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
You rolling. No, you rolling. Go ahead. I'll let you finish my thought.
In my personal opinion, I don't think Blaine Gabbert is going to start as a rookie. I think that's still David Girard's job, and eventually they're going to pass the torch to Gabbert. But go ahead and with your thought.
No, I was just going to, you know, actually agree with you as far as Christian Ponder. And the reason why I think that, you know, he'll have the most team success because I think if you are the Minnesota Vikings, and as much as you can hate on Brett Favre, I do think that their success is running the ball. And you've got a workhorse in Adrian Peterson. So, you know, if you have a good team that runs the ball well, you can take a lot of pressure off of a young quarterback. You know, as you know, you're going to drop 8 or 9 in the box, but I think they're going to still try to do some certain things that, you know, they need somebody just to have some type of accuracy to, you know, to say, hey, you know, don't change the play, and they have a strong defense. So that's why I think, you know, Christian Ponder is in a very great scenario to be successful. And I got to say this as a Falcon, Bill Musgrave was the actual quarterback coach here in Atlanta. And he actually said that Christian Ponder had a lot of qualities like Matt Ryan, you know, so that's who he wanted to pick as far as the quarterback, you know. So, you know, that's a great endorsement on Christian Ponder. I don't think he's quite there yet, but, you know, here's a guy that has a very accurate arm, very poised. So, like you said, you need somebody just to be, you know, don't lose the game for us, but just, you know, kind of continue to move the ball. Like you said, I don't think they have enough pieces wide receiver-wise. I mean, obviously, Percy Harvin and Sidney Rice and whatever is his thing. I know he's a free agent if they resign him, but, you know, they don't really have a deep threat as much. But, you know, if you just stay the course, they have, like you said, a strong running game. That's a recipe for very good success for a young quarterback, if you will. But,
yeah.
You know, like you said, same thing, Blaine Gabbert. I don't think he's there yet. Not sure about Jake Locker yet, and I'll let you talk about that too, because with him, I'm not really sure what's going to happen with Tennessee, because Tennessee is almost similar to Minnesota. They have a very strong running game as well. So
mm-hmm.
It's just kind of, you know, what's going to happen as far as if they still trust Kerry Collins or like, okay, kid, here you go. You know, so, you know, I'm mm-hmm. curious to hear your last thoughts on him as we kind of wrap up the show.
Yeah, my thoughts on Jake Locker are similar to Blaine Gabbert. I don't think he's going to start as a rookie. I think they're going to try to see if they can squeeze another year of Kerry Collins starting and then pass the torch on to Jake Locker. So I think as far as him playing, I think he's probably another year away. I think Jake Locker has to work on his accuracy as well. That's going to be a key for him in this rookie season. But the physical tools with Jake Locker is there. There's no question about it.
Wow. And I was going to say, I mean, why do you think that Tennessee made the choice to pick up Jake Locker so high as opposed to Blaine Gabbert and or Christian Ponder, because that was definitely one of the shockers in the draft to see him go so high, if you will.
It's definitely a shocker, and I think what happens is all it takes is just somebody in your organization to be enamored with somebody's tools or their physical tools. And there's no question, other than Cam Newton, Jake Locker may be the second most physically gifted quarterback in the draft. He's got a strong arm. He can move in the pocket. His only question, but this is probably the key for any quarterback. If you're going to play in the NFL, you have to be accurate. That's the only question with Jake Locker. Can he be accurate with the football? If you look at his game day footage in college, you know, when he's outside the pocket, he's actually a little bit more accurate than when he's in the pocket. And so his accuracy is a little off. And that's something that he's going to have to improve. And I just think if just somebody in the Tennessee organization just loved his physical tools, and they must have loved him in the meeting room as well, and they said, hey, maybe we can work with him and get his accuracy up to an NFL-caliber quarterback. But definitely,
wow,
as far as physical tools, in my opinion, he has more physical tools than Gabbert, more physical tools than Christian Ponder. And like I said, the only guy that may have more physical tools is Cam Newton.
Wow. Well, like I said, I hate to wrap this up, man. You know, the time is flying by, man. We got about 30-something seconds left, man, for the show. But just to let you know, like I said, I think next week we're going to continue this, because what I did was I actually pulled some old scouting reports of some quarterbacks. And I'm going to let you pick who they were, because you had some good things as far as you know, athleticism and accuracy, and I'm going to let you pick, you know, these are certain busts and stuff like that. I want you to kind of figure out who these actual scouting reports belong to. But, you know, that's it, guys, for everyone, for the 12th man. We enjoy everyone listening to the show. We'll try to see you guys next week, same time, same channel. Robert Ford, you got anything last to say as we sign off or anything?
Good night, people. Join us next week, and we'll finish up some more exciting topics. Next week, we're going to look at the rookie running backs. What rookie running backs have the most success in the draft?
I like it. Yeah, we'll do the rookie running backs. We'll talk about the top five in college football. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to talk to that, and we'll continue to talk about the NFL lockout, what's happening with free agency. Hopefully, there'll be some news as far as what's going on with that. And, you know, like I said, that's just the tip of the iceberg, guys. So Talking Sports with the 12th Man show is officially live. We're still streaming, Rob, if you still want to, you know, talk about a good five more minutes. But it's official. We're not streaming anymore. But you want me to talk about these the draft profiles? You want to say that for the show?
Oh, we can talk about it a little bit, yeah. So I think tonight we got a good gauge, and maybe we should just stick to, like, four topics. We're not streaming right now, right?
No, we're not. Well, I mean, like I said, I can edit this part down because whenever we get like the actual tape audio, I can still like cut it to like 45 minutes of the show too. So literally, it'll be on for 15 more minutes. But
we're still streaming right now.
We're not streaming live. I mean, the show is still on, but we're not streaming. You know, in other words.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if we need to be. I don't know if it's just you and I talking, or are we still doing the show kind of thing.
Oh, it's just you and I talking. I mean, like I said, if we post the stuff on the archives, it'll still go. I mean, unless I cut it off,
okay,
I can edit like certain parts of the show too. So
Like
I said,
we're off the record right now. In other words,
yeah, we're off the record. We're off the record. Yep.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, well, yeah. Well, since we're off the record, I was just gonna say, yeah, I think we got a good gauge, and maybe we should just, unless something breaking news just kind of happened that we have to throw in, that maybe we should stick to, like, four topics. I think we had five or six going into this one.
Mm-hmm.
And, so maybe next week we can talk about, look at the running backs in the draft that's probably going to have the most success as a rookie, both team as well as, like you mentioned, as well as individually. And I think we can talk about the top five in college football since we didn't get that in tonight. And get the lockout business in. And then, of course, you know, we can talk about the NBA Finals. So I think those should be our four to kind of look at, unless something changes before then.
Yeah, because typically, you know, you got about 30 minutes. So you spend like 5 minutes on each topic. You know, that's kind of like a good mm-hmm. gauge, you know. But now granted, you know, so, you know, mm-hmm. like I said, anything over than that, it's going to, you know,
yeah.
We may spend like seven minutes talking about something, and not so we have to have it on the timer or anything like that, but it does keep a good gauge. Like, you know, if you got like 5 minutes,
yeah.
and, you know, that's, you know, four topics.
Yeah, if you have
topics
four,
like, that's 20 minutes, you know.
Yeah, if we have four topics, I think that gives us about 7-8 minutes per topic.
Yep,
and I think the topic we spent the most time on was in the quarterbacks in the draft. I think we took up the whole last 9 minutes on that.
Yep.
And that was probably the one we took the most time on. But for the most part, we transitioned from topic to topic pretty quickly and smooth.
Yeah, and like I said, it always amazes me too, because you think like 30 minutes is going to like be a long time. But it seems like it flies by, doesn't it? You know, that's the first time.
Yeah, I guess that's why these sports talk shows be having 2 and 3, 4 hour shows.
Yeah, because, Grant, 30 minutes, you're thinking, man, the first time I did it, I'm like, man, what am I going to talk about for 30 minutes? You know, that's the first thing I thought about. And then whenever we got on, I'm like, man, you know, literally it seems like it flies by, you know, especially if you're just, you know, you're just talking and you're just, you know, spreading your knowledge and, you know, so. That's the good news, but it's also the bad news because you're like, man, it was cool, but then you're like, man, it's going by fast, you know?
Yeah. And then if we get Wayne involved, you know, you almost got to cut a topic off, because when you get three people commenting, you know, you probably got to go down to three topics.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, we may not have enough, we have to, like, cut down, like I said, three topics if we get Wayne on, because everyone's going to want to share their opinions. But, you know, that's the fun part. And then I think eventually as we get, like you said, kind of good at bouncing ideas off of each other, you know, we'll look at to expanding the show to maybe an hour or something like that, too. But right now this is kind of a good start, you know, as we're kind of getting our sea legs, if you will, and stuff like that, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Because it sucks, because, you know, I can't really see you or nothing like that. So I'm kind of like picking and choosing, okay, is Rob going to talk, or, you know, I want to give you some time to kind of say your thought and, you know, kind of bounce things off and stuff like that, too. So, you know, yeah, that's something to think
about.
Yeah,
well, I think we flow pretty good tonight.
Yeah, it was good flow. I mean, like I said, too, I like, you know, you kind of led it, which is cool, and I don't want to, like, step on your toes or anything like that, too. So, you know, I'll interject as needed, you know, but, yeah, great job, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like I said, I think we already got four good topics for next Wednesday. And,
yep.
Like I said, unless something just, you know, unless we just get something that just shocks the sports world, that we just need to, you know, put it in the show. Like
yep.
the Ohio State incident and Shaquille O'Neal thing. I mean, you know, those are definitely two huge things. They would probably definitely have to get in. And, of course, the NBA Finals is probably, you know, the biggest sporting event going on right now.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, too, it sucks because I don't want to keep, you know, talking at, you know, I want to at least hit a different angle when it comes to certain things. Like, I don't want to always talk about, you know, yeah, we're going to talk about what's going on in the sports world, too. But, you know, I'm sure everyone, you're like beating a dead horse. Like, okay, Ohio State, okay, we know. They got some problems, you know. So it's just interesting perspective how hopefully we can pull something interesting out of the hat or something like that, as opposed to the same old, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good job, man. So now you got the number two moving forward, so if you ever need to log into that, you know, it's going to be the exact same number two, so it's just me setting up, and like I said, you know, I'm gonna. The goal is to try to get on there at least 5 minutes ahead of time, just kind of like go over some stuff and get that going in the background, and to make sure that, you know, we're kind of calm, or any last minute things that are going, we can kind of discuss. Like you said, it's a good time to kind of talk about any breaking news or anything like that too. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was good, man.
Yeah.
Good job. Good job.
Oh, man, you making it do what it do.
That's what it's all about, man.
Stop.
Like I said, we'll snip.
I gotta stop calling you slacker for one day.
Here you go. I'm about to cut this off for the quickness, man. I mean, I told you, man, we'll make it happen. You just gotta, you know, it's just more or less like just making sure that we can hit the topics, and just making sure that, you know, I'm sure no one wants to hear me talk for 30 minutes, so it's good to have somebody else kind of bounce ideas off of, too. So, you know, that's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to make it happen, Doc.
Yes, sir. All right, sir.
All right, Chief, man.
I'm going to sign off. And have you listened to any of the stuff yet, or no? You haven't listened to any of the files yet, have you?
I haven't yet, man. But send me this one, man. I want to check it out.
Okay. I'll send this one to you. It's good. Obviously, this is one that you're going to star in, so I'd see how you like this one, too, man. So,
no, I'm not starring in it. I think we're both.
I'm just messing with you, man. You had a good focus on too, man. So I'm excited to see how this one actually sounds too. And Marcy, she actually listens to all the shows too. So she's like, it sounded pretty good. I'm so excited, you know. So once we get the show down. No, I mean she always comes. She always has some good times with a comment with it too, man. The good news, Rob, is that after we get finished, you can add this to your iPhone, so you can listen to it on your iPhone or something like that, too. So it's just an MP3 file, too, so that's something to think about as well.
Sounds good, man.
All right, sir.
All right, Chief.
Good topic,
we'll catch
man.
Up later.
We'll talk soon.
Okay. All right.
Bye. All right. Bye.